A sticky situation for BP.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Stacey Vanek Smith. The oil spill in the Gulf of Mexico keeps getting worse. The U.S. Coast Guard announced the damaged well is leaking 5,000 barrels of oil a day. That's five times more than previously thought. It also means British operator BP will spend a lot on cleanup and legal costs. From London, Stephen Beard reports.
BP says it's spending $6 million a day trying to clean up the spill and stop the leak. Those costs can quickly add up. A comparable spill off the coast of Australia took a month to get under control. That would set BP back more than $160 million. The company is getting some help from a surprising source. Rival oil giant Shell has sent half a dozen vessels to help with the cleanup. Nick McGregor is with brokers Redmayne Bentley. He says both companies drill in deep water, both have much at stake.
As companies like BP and Shell highlight that their speciality is the tough-to-reach resources, what they also have to highlight is that they can manage that process in a safe and secure fashion. Otherwise, they're going to find the political will to grant exploration licenses just isn't there.
The slick in the Gulf of Mexico is now 600 miles in circumference and is expected to hit the Louisiana coastline by Friday night. In London, this is Stephen Beard for Marketplace.
The price of oil is on the upswing this morning, just about $84 a barrel. That after the International Monetary Fund announced Greece would get more money. The IMF says the cash-strapped country will get as much as $160 billion, that instead of a $60 billion bailout. The money will come from the IMF and other countries in Europe. That news has calmed European markets this morning. London's FTSE is up 0.75%. Germany's DAX is up 0.5%. Yesterday, U.S. markets were back in the black. The Dow Jones Industrial Average ticked up nearly 0.5%. Word this morning, President Obama will nominate Janet Yellen as the vice chairman of the central bank. She'd be the most powerful person at the Federal Reserve after Ben Bernanke. Yesterday, the Fed said it would keep interest rates low for a long time. And the first time home buyers' tax credit expires on Friday. Nearly 2 million people took advantage of the program. But did it really help revive the housing market? Brett Neely takes a look.
Consumers think so. A new survey by Prudential Real Estate says the vast majority believe the tax credit has helped turn around the U.S. housing market. Jim Malozzi is the company's CEO.
We're thankful the government did it. It helped bridge a difficult period for American consumers.
Columbia University economist Chris Mayer says it was more of a giveaway. He says most home buyers probably would have bought anyway. The credit just gave them a reason to buy sooner rather than later.
You know, given that this cost is $12 billion, I think it was a pretty big cost for a program that had at best pretty moderate or small effects.
Mayer says don't thank the tax credit for stabilizing the housing market.
The single biggest thing that affected the housing market was the Fed's policy to bring down mortgage rates.
But those rates are rising, which Mayer says could pour cold water on the market later this year. I'm Brett Neely for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Trusted Choice Independent Insurance Agents, offering a choice of companies and coverage. You can find a local agent at 1-800-WE-INSURE. By Constant Contact, dedicated to helping small businesses and nonprofits build strong customer relationships with email marketing, online surveys, and event marketing. ConstantContact.com. And by Vanguard. Vanguarding is an investment philosophy designed to help individuals reach their financial goals. Vanguard.com.
Next week, British voters go to the polls for a general election. It's shaping up to be a nail-biter. Now, politics work a little differently across the pond. For instance, Britain doesn't let political ads air on TV. So politicians have to resort to more traditional methods. From London, Christopher Worth explains.
This is supposed to be the UK's first digital election. No one had even heard of Facebook or Twitter the last time the Brits voted in 2005. But as opinion polls have narrowed, the good old-fashioned political campaign poster is back and being used to full effect.
It's the one area of political campaigning in this country when we see the teeth bared and the blood dripping from their mouths as they really have a go at each other.
Paul Bainsfair is with Iris, a company that's designing posters for the UK's third largest party, the Liberal Democrats. He says campaign posters have a long tradition in British politics. Right now, the Conservative Party is blitzing the UK with billboards that lampoon Prime Minister Gordon Brown's handling of the economy over the past 13 years.
Big headlines saying things like, "I sold all of Britain's gold reserves, vote for me."
But Brown's Labour Party warns that the budget cuts the Conservative leader David Cameron is proposing will jeopardize the economic recovery. Nicholas O'Shaughnessy is an expert in political marketing at Queen Mary, University of London. He says for political parties, unveiling a new poster is a good way to get onto the evening television news.
The poster is immensely economic because it's replicated by the mass media. The newspapers print the posters as a news item, and so you get a lot of bang for the buck.
He says that kind of media publicity alone can add up to about $3 million worth of free campaign advertising. But as new media expert Clifford Singer has shown, in the age of the internet, the message of posters can be easily turned against the party that's putting them out there. Earlier this year, he launched MyDavidCameron.com, a website that allows visitors to create spoof versions making fun of the Conservative Party's original posters and have everyone see them online.
Within a week, we had tens of thousands of visitors and hundreds of people were making their own posters and sending them around on Facebook and Twitter and other social media.
And the Conservative Party started its own website, parroting the Labour Party's posters. So this really is the UK's first digital election, just not the one politicians were expecting. In London, I'm Christopher Wirth for Marketplace.
And finally, what's black and white and covered with health warnings? Cigarettes. That is, if the Australian government gets its way. It's introduced legislation that would ban colorful images and logos from cigarette packs. Instead, packs would feature a government health warning, and the brand name would be in a generic font at the bottom. They'd also hike the cigarette tax by 25%. In Los Angeles, I'm Stacey Vanek Smith, and this is the Marketplace Morning Report.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
"What is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?"
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.